I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Greetings, listener dear. I'm Tom.
I'm Ben.
And I'm Matthew, and welcome to another Pappy's Flat Sharehouse meeting.
Yes, yes, yes. Before we get into it, we should say we are gliding towards the end of the year. And what better way to celebrate that fact than joining us for the Christmas Flat Slam?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely right. Glide tidings we bring to you and your kin.
Always a highlight of the seasons for me.
Yes, it really is. So on the 15th of December, which is next Tuesday, we are going to be doing it again, as we've been doing all of them, over Zoom. So you can watch it on YouTube. If you go to eventbrite.co.uk and search for Pappy's Flatshare, or go to our Twitter or our Facebook, the ticket link is there. In fact, we'll put it in the show notes for the show. But we've got two amazing guests.
Oh, yeah. We've got
really, really good.
Josie Long and John Richardson.
Bang, yes. Bang! So you don't want to miss it. Richardson hasn't done it since, I think, Series 1.
Wow.
We were talking about this the other day. Yeah, it was a long time ago. It was one of our early ones at the Phoenix. Josie obviously has been on the show regularly. He's one of our dearest friends and one of our favourite guests. So it's going to be a good one. So go to eventbrite.co.uk, eventbrite.co.uk, and get your tickets today. They're a fiver or free if you work for the NHS.
Absolutely right. Right. Well, let's, before we get into this house meeting, you've got an email. Have we got an email or two from listener dears?
Got a couple of emails. And again, Tom, it's picking up on a few things that you've said. We had a message from a Greg.
Okay.
A Greg from America.
Great.
Okay, this is Greg from Greg via pappysflatshare@gmail.com. Please get in touch. He says, hello, Emma and guys. Yes, I am American from Kansas City. Yes, I am listening, or was listening. And yes, my name is Greg, with three G's, not all in a row. I've been called Craig, or Craig as he spells it. I've been called Craig so many times that I usually just let it go. In my opinion, Greg rhymes with leg, and Craig rhymes with Hague, as in The Hague.
Oh, there we go.
Clarifying. Yes, very good. Yes, very good.
Yes. Love your show. Thanks for the shout out. I love it when super famous people mention me. Bye.
Thank you, Craig.
Greg from Kansas City. So there we go. Thank
Craig
you.
The leg.
Thank you, Craig.
We need to get there. He is. We need to get him a t-shirt that says Greg rhymes with leg and Craig rhymes with Hague.
And then a picture of someone being tried at The Hague on the back.
Tony Bloody Blair, hopefully.
Too bloody right. Tried at the William Hague. Is that satire? So this is another message from, again, a message from Samuel here via message. beefbrotherspodcast@gmail.com. He writes, hello, Matthew, Emma, Ben and Tom, in ascending order of height.
Ooh.
Possibly. It's been so long since we've been in the same room. I've got no idea.
Well, we all grown. Have you been putting on a growth spurt in lockdown?
Actually, yeah.
That would be amazing.
I spent 2 or 3 days on the rack, actually. Yeah, like a medieval torture implement.
But like Tony Bloody Blair, he spent time with a rack.
Very nice.
Yeah, absolutely right, William Hague.
That is satire, mate.
Allow the desserts. He says, I agree wholeheartedly with Tom's view on desserts. Now, this was your controversial opinion in the last Flat Slam, that we should just get rid of desserts completely.
If
and you wouldn't miss
them. If one person agrees with you, does it stop being controversial?
Yeah. I think that's all it takes. Two people, you've got a movement on your hands, really.
Great.
This is the will of the people. I agree wholeheartedly with Tom's view on... No, Samuel. It's the Samuel of the people. Sorry. Okay. I agree wholeheartedly with Tom's view on desserts. I wouldn't miss them if they were gone. Would not miss them. If we're going two courses, I'll always choose starter and a main. Or if there's a cheese board, I'll always have that instead of a sweet dessert. It's not that I hate desserts. I don't. I just rather have more savoury.
Yeah.
And this is the bit that really, really struck me. Because I do relate to this. I'd like it to be socially acceptable to have a starter after the main as well as before if we're talking a three-course situation. Samuel.
Love that.
I don't mind that at all.
I love that.
That's a really good...
I wonder what you... I mean, presumably most restaurants would be fine with that.
Starter, main and finisher. They should start calling it like a finisher or something like that.
A finisher, yeah. Yeah, I would love that.
Croquettes.
Because If you finish, yeah, croquettes or... Oh.
Finish him.
Croquettes.
Garlic prawns.
All right, well...
Stuffed mushrooms.
Well, you've had your starter. Get ready for the main course, which is the house meeting, and we'll see you on the other side for your finisher.
Croquettes.
I've had a thought.
I've got an issue.
I've got a question I want to ask you.
I want to talk.
I want to chat.
Okay, let's sit down and chew the fat.
House meeting. Meeting.
Meeting.
What temperature should we set the heat?
House meeting.
Meeting. Meeting.
Why on earth am I always weeping?
House meeting.
Meeting. Meeting.
Who wet my bed while I was sleeping?
Let's have a house meeting.
Meeting. Meeting.
What's the point? Does life have a meaning?
House meeting.
So, morning everybody.
Morning.
Great to see you guys, as always. So as you know, I've been trying to get a lot of stuff for my new house, trying to get stuff in gear, and I bought a new washing machine the other day.
Hello.
Right? Always very exciting, quite a grown-up thing. I think it might be the first washing machine I've ever bought.
Very topical chat for me, because I've just agreed with my parents that that's going to be my 40th birthday present.
Well, this is the reason I bring this up, Parry, because, you know, you've got a big birthday coming up. It's just around the corner. It's just a few days away. What do you get a 40-year-old? It's a tricky thing, isn't it?
But
anyway, I bought two and I've got one for you.
Yeah. Just early doors on the chat about my birthday coming up. What I always see my birthday as is the 6th month marker that it's soon going to be Clarkie's birthday. Let's keep our mind on what this is really about, which is of course 6th of June. Okay, in many ways there is only one birthday really, but
I see the 16th of December as halfway up the back of the year. That's the way I see it.
That's right. Yeah, creeping ever closer to the shoulders of New Year.
So anyway, we got the old one taken out. We got a new washing machine put in, and the bloke
did
came
you say
round.
Goodbye to the old machine?
Well,
did you give it a little tap and be like, old friend?
No, because it's not an old friend.
Right.
It was in the house when we arrived, and the people who we bought the house off charged us £100 for it, and it hasn't worked since we got it.
Oh,
so there's no old friend about
so
it.
It's like
kicked up the arse and boots out the door.
It's like a squatter. Exactly.
Exactly. It's like bloody Swampy. I turfed it out. So for anyone worried about this, we renegotiated and we got the £100 back.
Oh,
so that's I've not been fleeced. But there's a recurring theme in the builders coming around to do stuff on our house.
Right.
The recurring theme is that they look at a thing that's in the house and they go, oh, why have they done that?
Yeah.
Everyone who comes and looks at any bit of our house says that the previous people who've done work on it have done it all wrong. Oh, why'd they do that? So this was no exception. The guy fitting it and taking the old one away goes, oh, you know, it's fine.
Could it just be that you've hired very inexperienced builders who don't understand the concept? You like go, why have they done that? And you go, well, it's a window.
Oh, okay.
What it does is
they've ruined that wall.
Yeah, they've ruined that wall. But you understand, you see the glass means that the light can come in, and that's why they've done that. Maybe they're hot off the press.
You can see right out to the street there. No, that's no good.
Problem is, no, they can see your the other way.
Yeah, exactly. That's it.
Why have they done that? It's because it's a load-bearing wall, so it needs to have that. That's why they've done that. Why do you need me to explain this to you?
Well, these are the guys who came with the washing machine, basically. They are we bought the washing machine from John Lewis. These guys showed up. They were John Lewis's own, so you'd think the John Lewis boys would know what they were doing. Anyway, he looks at the washing machine. He says, "Well, it'll fit." And I go, "Of course it'll fit. I measured up and everything." He says, "It'll fit, but there's a real problem. It's your waist."
What?
And I had to bite my tongue to not make a joke about, well, we've all put some weight on in lockdown, ha ha ha. But
you mate. You should have,
don't bite
you should
your
have
tongue, mate. Don't bite your tongue, that'll make their day.
Do you think that would have made their day?
They'll reuse that.
Do you think so?
Oh, yeah. You chuck that their way, they'll be at their next job and they'll say, look, there's a problem with your waist. Now, hang on, before you think it. We've all put... I mean, I wouldn't bite my tongue saying that on this, a... I hesitate to use the words professional broadcast, but you know,
And you're right to hesitate. You should have bitten your tongue before you used the phrase professional broadcast. If ever there's a moment to bite your tongue, it's describing anything that we do as professional.
I'm surprised you still got a tongue after that.
I know.
Straight through it.
So he says, yeah, the thing is, I can't find the waste pipe. I think it's behind the fitted cupboards. And I was like, is it? And he's like, yeah, there it is. It's behind the fitted cupboards. So I don't know what to do, really. And I said, well, like, what are my options? He goes, well, I'll take it away. And I go, well, no, don't take it away. We want the washing machine. This isn't a whimsical thing. We need it.
Yeah.
And he goes, or I can just break the shelves. Break the back of the shelves.
Your legs.
I'll just take this washing machine and I'll just drop it on your ankles. And you'll shut your mouth and that'll be it. Go, all right, yeah, fair enough. Fair enough, big lad.
Why have you done that?
White baths.
So I go, all right, well, you can break the back of the thing because obviously we want this washing machine. It's kind of more important. And he goes, are you sure you want me to do this? So he's basically putting it back on me.
Yeah.
Are you sure you want me to do this? And I go, well, I mean, if there is no alternative, if we want this washing machine, then I guess you're going to have to break it. So he goes in there into the back of the, and there's like a little cutout where you can get to like the taps to turn off the water supply and stuff. So it's like a natural break in it, and he just grabs it and he like snaps the bit of MDF. He just like,
whoa,
breaks it.
Fucking hell.
Just breaks it. Yeah. And he goes, I'll try and make it as clean as possible as he's doing it. And it's obviously, it looks like fucking shit. It's not clean as possible. It's just a big sort of jagged crack. And I go, all right, well, anyway, you get on with it. I come back and he goes, yeah, it's all fitted. Just one thing. Turns out, yeah, the waste pipe wasn't there. I'm like, what? And he goes, yeah. It was just a little bit further along. It's quite easy to access, actually.
Oh, God.
But there's nothing I can do at this stage, is there? He's already torn apart my... So now I've got a cupboard that the back of the cupboard, he's just... Some big bloke has come in and torn the cupboard. But because he said, are you sure you want me to do it? I've got no recourse.
Do you think he does that wherever he can? Do you think that's his thing?
I feel as though he's like a black belt. And he's just constantly trying to karate chop wood in half.
That I would have loved, Clarkie.
That was the dream, wasn't it, as a kid?
Oh, yeah.
To be able to break stuff with your hands.
All you wanted to do as a kid was get to the level where you could break wood with your bare hands.
Yeah.
That felt like the pinnacle.
Yeah.
And then I think
of strength.
I got a feeling the Karate Kid moved on to big blocks of ice. And that was seen as some kind of step up.
Oh right, I thought he was seen as selling out. I thought you were going, yeah, that's when he jumped the shark.
Yeah,
it's very a little bit karate chopped a shark in two.
The chopping the bits of wood, or alternatively, headbutting a brick. That was really seen as the I mean, yeah, headbutting a brick and it breaking in half being the crucial
Well, something breaks in half.
Have you ever done anything like that? Have you ever done anything you consider to be like
cool,
an amazing feat of strength? Well, cool. Yeah, have you ever done anything cool? I'll widen the question, sure. In fact, I'll widen it even further. Have you ever done anything?
Oh, dear.
Anyone ever done anything, ever? It's rubbish, isn't it?
We're all absolute waste pipes.
Being able to pull a lorry...
Wait, are these things you've done?
These are all things that I thought I was going to be able to do once I got really strong.
Is this purely from watching like
the world's strongest man? I guess it was. No. I mean,
flipping
like,
a tire.
No, flipping tire always seemed like a silly one, didn't it? You kind of we could all flip a tire.
Well, a tractor tire.
Well, yeah. You kind of go, I've never come across a tractor tire, so I'll watch someone flip it. It's like the Kyber toss. You watch someone toss a Kyber, and you kind of think, yeah, I could do that. Because
are you thinking of a Kyber?
I didn't want to say.
Kybers.
Yeah,
toss the carry-on up the Kyber.
Yeah. Oh, I've always called it a Kyber.
It's not set in Scotland.
I thought it might have been, you know. There you go.
Carry on, toss the Kyber. When they bring back the carry-on movies, which is only a matter of time, they should definitely do one in Scotland called Carry On, toss the Kyber.
Yeah, that's a great...
So sorry, what were you saying about why does that seem silly, the chucking a long pole?
Well, I mean, A, you've answered your own question. I wasn't saying it was silly. I wasn't saying it's silly. I was saying it just seems like one of those things that you think you can do.
Yeah,
because, right, okay.
Because you've never had any experience with a caber.
Yeah, that's true.
So, like, you can't, your brain can't qualify that what they're doing there is mad tough.
You think it's a light caber?
Is it balsa wood? Is that what you're imagining, a balsa wood caber?
I mean, I literally have, like, if you said, I'll give you, you know, let's have a bet about this caber, you being able to get that caber up there and over or whatever. I'd be like, I have no reference to go on here.
Yeah, I mean, how heavy a caber
would
be.
I've got a feeling I can do it because I've rarely, I mean, like, it's a bit like pole vaulting. You kind of go, I get it.
Oh,
I get it.
You know what? Absolutely. That's one of those things. I've never done it. But you assume anyone can do it and the elites can do it really well.
Oh, boy.
So that's kind of what you assume.
It's one of those events. That's it. I think what we're getting at is like the caber, the pole vault.
I never thought of that before, but that's absolutely true.
Yeah, what you kind of need is someone who's never done it before or someone normal to be in there just to show you as a benchmark. To go, by the way, or like, you know, like American football, kind of, you watch these people throw these footballs and what you really need is someone to go, by the way, this is what you'd look like if you threw that. Okay, yeah. Now appreciate that a bit more, please.
Yeah, yeah.
In fact, like, even like going into an art gallery, they should remind you of what something that you've painted looks like.
This is your standard.
Because that's the reason people go to an art gallery, is to feel shit about themselves, isn't it? It's not to see beauty, but it's to go, oh, I could never do that.
Well, the amount of people who come out of an art gallery and go, well, it's, you know, like, yeah, it's just blue and red, isn't it? You kind of go, yeah, but it's done very well.
The lilies and also, do look really nice. You've got to admit it.
Also, blue and red, those are the taps, mate. You were just looking at
this modern bloody art. But yeah, it feels like what you need is a gentle reminder of this is how it looks like if you do it. Appreciate that guy with the caber.
In the same way that in a movie there would be, like, you know, like they used to be the sort of short cartoon before you'd watch the main film. What you need is a five-a-side match before every football match. Is that what you're saying? So people can go, these guys really can play.
Also,
even when they're not playing that well, they're still playing better than a bunch of guys who meet up after work.
But also, I think, like, being able to see the actual result of you, because I think even if I think probably most people think, oh yeah, I'm pretty good when I'm playing. You need to see you playing. You need actual footage of you go, oh yeah, doesn't look good actually.
I feel that when I'm running around the park. Everybody looks awful running around the park. Occasionally you'll see someone who looks amazing and you'll be like, oh right, that means
I
look
that
awful.
Person. Oh no, sorry. Yeah.
Well, yeah. I'll follow that person. I'll try and overtake them. I'll have an asthma attack. I'll fall into a bush. But you, in your mind, you're not thinking, I probably got exactly as bad technique as everybody else. My feet are sticking out in, you know, two different directions, and I'm hunched over and all the kind of stuff. I'm tense.
I was jogging the other day and I heard someone running up behind me, so I moved over for them to overtake me. And it was a guy that looked like he was like mid-70s at least. Like, he looked older than my dad. But also, he wasn't like, he didn't look like he was that age, but like had been like a really good runner and was running all his life. He looked like sort of.
He was on doctor's orders.
Was like really, he looked like he was going really slowly.
He had a Zimmer frame, didn't he?
Pretty much. I was like, oh God, how slow am I going then? I thought I was running at a fine speed.
Yeah, that used to be the thing at park run, when I used to do park run, and little kids would overtake you, and you go, you should be faster than an 11-year-old.
Yeah.
But then they're running all the time.
Yeah.
And there is definitely something to be said about the aged, like, the aged runner, that they just, they don't stop is the key, and they just, they're like...
What, you think this guy's been running all his life?
It's like you come across it a lot in the marathon where you get, like, you get this kind of, it's not quite hare and tortoise, but there's something, like, relentless about those old runners It's like It Follows or something. It's like they're on a
they're naked. They're stood on the roof.
They're on a speed that doesn't stop. You know, like I'll tell you what it's like. It's like when you're driving in traffic, and you see like a flash git in a BMW, like changing lanes and trying to, you know, go and accelerate, and then you keep on getting up to the traffic lights at the same time as them in the end.
Yes.
And like, you look at them and you're like, don't worry, guy, we all get there. You feel like you're this kind of worldly wise person who's like, we all get there in the end.
And exactly. That's what, if anything, I'm getting there on less petrol because you're also going sideways.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what an old runner is like. Same in the swim. I mean, I think we've talked about it in the swimming pool.
Oh, yeah.
Same in the swimming pool, same in the park. It's like these old cunts, they know, man. They know what to do. They're just...
Well, it's your 40th birthday soon, so you'll be able to... You won't have to say these old cunts. You'll be able to say us old cunts.
Yeah, exactly.
Just we know.
Gliding along, baby, with all the secrets to life. Can't wait.
Did he whisper any secrets to you as you went past?
He just went, speed up. Fuck it up.
Get out my way.
You're going backwards. What are you doing? The waste pipe is by the taps.
House meeting.
I've said it once before, but it bears a repeat.
House meeting.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
It is like a problem with this day and age is like...
Oh, here we go. Here we go, old man Parry.
Well, no, you just think like...
Well, what's the problem with kids today, eh?
People need to...
Is it the TikToks?
It's not the kids, though. Like, people need to appreciate people doing stuff is actually quite impressive. People doing anything's quite impressive.
This is also what you put outside the art gallery, isn't it?
Yeah. People doing anything is quite impressive, actually. That should be like the kind of main motto.
I like that. I'd buy a t-shirt with that on.
Yeah, it's a message to our listeners.
Do you know
by
what?
The way,
people doing anything is quite impressive. Just fucking chill out. Stop giving everyone such a hard time.
Yeah, exactly. It feels everyone's gone fucking mad.
Well, I wonder why that is. I think justifiably everyone's gone fucking mad. I know we're not a topical podcast, but this is being recorded in December of 2020, and you know, if you're listening back, I mean, which you will be, you can't be listening now. We're recording it, but if you're listening back, it's there's a global pandemic going on.
Yeah, but I don't think that's why people have got more judgmental. I think it's more to do with the onset of social media and the internet and polarisation of opinions. I don't think Corona's come along and people gone, well, that's fucking shit. Cancel that cunt or whatever it is. It's like, I think
very foul mouth as an old person.
I don't think that's because we're all wearing masks. It's just like,
if anything, the mask have made people less judgmental because you can't see their expressions.
You're only going off the eyes.
Yeah, it's impossible to communicate anything with the eyes. I find I've realised these last sort of 10 months or so, I've got pretty dead eyes.
I think, but
they say nothing.
It's surprised is about the only thing, isn't it, for eyes?
Imagine, but that's eyebrows.
If it helps,
it's not even eyes.
If it helps, when you get to the supermarket, imagine yourself as Gromit. That's what I think I do in my head.
That's a good one. Yeah.
It's like just picture yourself as Gromit, and then it helps. Because
is there any situation where it doesn't help? I'd say
he's the greatest physical communicator of our time.
Absolutely.
There's not a lot that Gromit can't communicate. So, like in a supermarket incident, just if you could visualise Gromit in that situation, you'll probably be doing what Gromit would do, and then you'll be okay.
So you like, also go to the supermarket wearing nothing but a collar around your neck. Isn't that true?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Clutching a spanner and carrying an old man with me.
Well, he's running past
yeah,
you.
Exactly. That's it, yeah.
Shouting, just guy. Doing anything's impressive, all right?
Yeah. Gromit knows. Gromit can get... You could put drop Gromit into any situation across the world and he's gonna let people know what's going on just with his eyes.
He should be a diplomat for the UK.
Yeah, stick him in the Brexit talks. Piece of cake. Everyone's coming out of the deal. Everyone's happy.
If Gromit saw, yeah, absolutely. There's no way you would. Also, as well, basically, whatever we'd like out of Brexit, he'd be getting it, right? Because it's Gromit.
If Gromit was your spirit,
he's a little plasticine dog.
If Gromit was your spirit animal, you'd be perfect. I really believe that. I think like if Gromit was your spirit animal, all would be well with the world. I don't. Have you ever seen Gromit make a bad judgment? Have you ever seen him do anything where you kind of go steady on Gromit? Yep. I know that's what something Wallace would say, but like, but like it's always Wallace, isn't it? Wallace is always. But Gromit knows, man. If you have Gromit, make Gromit your spirit guide. You're going to have a good week. Give it a try. What would Gromit do?
So like the Native American guy in the movie The Doors, you would want sort of Gromit to be following you around, kind of, well, no one else can see, guiding you.
Well, it's a good question. What do spirit animals do?
Yeah, I was going to ask this.
Because it's definitely a thing, isn't it? But what?
Yeah.
What, they don't follow you around. It's not like, it's not Philip Pullman, is it? But it's like... do you imagine your essence? There's like,
yeah, I think
I'm trying to think.
Like,
the
one that,
my experiences of spirit animals are here's Dark Materials, where they're literal and they're there and right. they follow you around as demons. Harry Potter, where they're your Patronus or something.
Right,
is that right? Is it Patronus? Where know. Like when you need help, you envisage an animal and it leaps out and helps you.
Ooh.
So that's right. That's what you have in Harry Potter.
That would be great.
What we have is Patreons, where you imagine them and they send you money once a month to keep podcasting.
Yes.
Ah, they're our spirit animals. I like it.
Well, yeah, well, much appreciated. I don't know what... I don't know what a spirit animal does. B, I'm not entirely sure what my spirit animal is. Have you got a clear view of what your spirit animal is?
No, I don't. I sort of thought it was the animal that, you know, that kind of embodies your personality or that your personality most closely resembles. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yes.
Or, on a superficial level, one that you look a bit like.
Yes.
That's,
yeah, yeah.
That's, right. That's what you all really think. When you think, yeah. Do you know what I think your spirit animal is? It's a giraffe. What that means is you're talking to someone with long legs and a neck, mate. You haven't looked
long legs and a neck.
You haven't looked into their soul, well, right?
Not just a long neck, yeah. But any neck. Well, like, anyone who hasn't got... shoulders up by their up by their ears,
or an arse.
Well, you would presumably be some sort of what? I mean, I was thinking maybe like a turtle or something. It's got a hump on its back.
I was thinking you a turtle, actually.
Do you think I'm turtle?
Hang on. Are we just thinking about the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
Yeah.
Okay. We're just a gang of turtles. There's four of us.
Listen,
okay,
all I want to do, as previously stated, is be able to karate chop a board in half. Yeah. And if I was a Ninja Turtle, I could do it.
Obviously,
all you want to do is eat a pizza in the sewer. It's always been your dream.
What we've gone from now is we've gone from who is your spirit animal to what Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle are you? Okay. I'm actually more comfortable with
these BuzzFeed quizzes, aren't they?
I'm more comfortable with this conversation. Cuz Clark, okay, well, Parangelo.
Parry, yes. You're cool but rude, aren't you?
Am I Raphael?
Yeah.
Oh no. He's the worst.
Do you want to be Raphael?
He's the worst one.
Isn't Raphael the leader of the group transformed from the norm by the nuclear goop?
Leonardo's the leader.
Yeah, Leonardo.
Not according to Partners in Crime.
Really?
In TURTLE Power.
Definitely Leonardo.
In Turtle Power, Raphael's described as the leader.
Yeah, Raphael. He's the leader of the group, transformed from the norm by the nuclear goop. Pizza is the food that's sure to please. These ninjas are into pepperoni and cheese.
Can't argue with that. That's
all of those facts stack up.
That's
right?
Bigger than Wikipedia. Learned lyrics. Lyrics learned as rope from when you were a kid. That's better than any encyclopedia I'm having. That's it.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Leonardo is always the leader. Raphael's the one who has problems.
He's like the edgy one.
He's horrible. He's tough
really?
Stuff. Donatello's the scientist, and Michelangelo's the laid-back party dude.
Right.
So
Leonardo's got the sort of like organisational skills and he can inspire.
I see what you're angling for here, Crosby. Leading with organisational skills on Leonardo, and then chucking in inspire at the back. I see what you're trying to bag here.
All
I
I'm
see
saying
those
is,
two swords on your back.
He'd be the one who reads the emails.
Donatello.
He'd be the one who does the lion's share of the tweeting.
I think Donatello. That's Donatello.
He sets up the Eventbrite page. That's his style, right?
I mean, I'm concerned now because I found myself. I was about to ask: has Raphael got any redeeming features, guys?
He's cool.
He's not just an arsehole, is he? No,
he's cool, but he's rude.
Yeah, give me a break.
Which, as we all know, the rudest thing anyone could say.
I guess that's the brakes, isn't it? Because caution's Donatello, because she's pulling the string. She's working the dials and working with machines, taking these words and putting them on the thing. I mean, it's a straight. I'm not going to be able to toe to toe you for. And they do only have two toes. I'm not going to be able to go toe to toe with you for Leonardo. Oh man, well that has
ruined your day?
No, not at all. You've got to embrace the reality of a situation, haven't you? You've got to just learn that's self awareness is a tremendous thing.
Is it? I've never really thought about it.
But that does break down, doesn't it?
So we're saying I'm Michelangelo, right? Is that...
That was never in doubt.
Lovely. Yeah. You're definitely Michelangelo.
It's who I was when I was a kid.
Irresponsible. A man-child.
Hey, I'm just a party dude, all right?
He's a party dude.
I'm a party dude. Yeah.
He loves
I'm
to party.
I'm really into pizza. Yeah. And I have the worst weapon.
It just happens that all the people that Clarky parties with have sort of slowly... stopped partying, and now Clarky Party is a party dude on his own in his flat.
That is
at midnight in front of the telly.
That is the tragedy of Michelangelo, really, isn't it? That we can quite get to.
He just never stopped partying.
Well, they're always teenagers, aren't they?
Absolutely mental that is how Michelangelo, Leonardo, Raphael, and Donatello are better known now.
That's another thing you're going to put up outside the art gallery, isn't it?
Absolutely
this,
mental.
This art exhibition you've got, it lacks focus, but it's making a lot of salient points.
It is yet another thing that is wrong with the modern world, I will say, on my park bench to an old man running by who's also my friend and peer. You've got to go like... If you said, right, we're doing a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle art tour where there's a little bit of Leonardo, a little bit of Donatello, and you're like, you're actually displaying the Grandmaster's works. That might actually get more people along than not.
Yeah, I think if you had, it's not a bad idea, is it? You've got the tour guides are dressed as the turtles. And they can talk about it, but in a kind of fun way that the kids can relate to. They throw in a cowabunga.
And we
say radical
in,
once
yeah,
in a
and
while.
This is our job. This is where we go in and we advise the tour guides in the art gallery of how to act like a certain turtle. So I'll be like, look, every now and again, just flip out, man. Chuck a mood. Walk off. Because that's our thing, apparently. We're arseholes. Clark will be like, yeah, man, chill with me and smoke a doob. And you'll be like, I've put the newsletter on the website about what time the art gallery opens. Caution will be
like me, actually.
And I'll be like, fuck's sake. And Caution will be like, if the temperature's not this in the art gallery, then all the paintings will melt. And I'm like, I couldn't have fucking told you that. It's not fucking that scientific, mate. And then people will be like, oh, look, Leonardo could actually paint. And everyone will have had a nice day. And then, because it's this day and age, someone will go home and go, this was the worst art gallery I've ever been to. No stars. Go. And it'll be like, see, that's the problem with the world, mate. When did you last draw a fucking man in a star or whatever Leonardo da Vinci did?
Oh, the man in a circle.
Yeah, that's right. What's that guy called?
The Vitruvian Man.
A.K.A. Man in a Star.
A.K.A. Man with four legs. One AKA and one willy.
Carry on up the Khyber. but yeah, spirit, like, I guess your spirit animal is what you picture inside of you, right? I mean, it would be neglectful of us to get out of this chat without us trying to zone in on a spirit animal.
Yeah, absolutely. Right?
But obviously mine's going to be fucking some kind of viper or some shit the way this is gone.
Oh, no, listen.
Old fucking Raphael over there is going to have some kind of fucking crab at his soul.
Listen, man, at least we weren't like...
A soul
your,
crab?
Your Shredder or...
Krang.
Is it Krang?
I'm fucking... Yeah, I'm two steps away from Krang, the way this conversation's going.
Yeah.
Hey, Bebop and Rocksteady, I think we'd take that, Clark.
Yeah.
Crosby's... Maybe that's the closest we're going to get to it. Crosby's Krang and me and your Bebop and Rocksteady.
Actually, that does fit better.
And Caution Shredder.
That feels more like a kind of comfortable glove. Yeah. So I'm just... I'm like this little sort of blobby thing. This little sort of... sort of moving a big giant robot man.
You're a brain. I think I've got a feeling Krang worked levers with the bits of his brain.
With his little sort of his little sort of extensions. Tentacles.
Yeah.
His little brain cords would move levers around, which would suggest that isn't it a brain? Isn't that the job of the brain is just to move stuff around without. Yeah. Like the brain doesn't go down to your hands and wiggle around a bit until your hands move.
He's basically a stomach brain. Krang is a stomach brain, which a lot of gut experts will tell you. The gut is the second brain of the body, so maybe they were onto something.
Wow, yeah, ahead of their time.
Whereas me and Clarky, we're a rhinoceros and a warthog that have gone through that.
And they just kind of perpetually just lose.
Yes.
End of every episode, it's like, oh, we lost again.
There's a spin-off series in Bebop and Rocksteady where you actually get to the
trip. You're going
to
do a Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are dead for Bebop and Rocksteady. My God. Parry, that is a phenomenal idea. Bebop and Rocksteady are dead. I would... God, that's a really funny idea.
Yeah,
such a good idea.
Yeah, that's it. And it's like you really get into their... You get into their kind of existence and it's tough. It's tough being Bebop and Rocksteady.
It is, man.
And it's also... It's set... You know, like, it'll start with them. They've just been in a fight with the Turtles. They've been beaten up quite badly, but it'll be like a long conversation about what they could have done differently and whether or not they still want to do this job and the nature of existence.
Their smart mate has said to them, guys, look, I can earn you a quick bit of money here. If you go to that fucking... You have to go to this warehouse and pick up a few boxes for me and we're all going to make a bit of cash. Okay.
Yeah.
Cash in hand, ask no questions. The taxman's not going to know. And they go, well, Krang's the smart. He's a smart guy. We remember him. He's smart. We're not smart.
But he's literally a brain.
We'll go and pick up these boxes. And they go into the warehouse to try and pick up these boxes. And suddenly these fucking green cunts pop out. You know, one of them's sending an email and swords them or some shit. And the other one's angry. And then they get their ass kicked. And then they're kind of like, oh, man. Oh, God. That wasn't as easy as we were told. It's not their fault, you know?
And then they're like, well, just repeat ad nauseum. Just keep doing it every week.
Oh, Krang's busy. Yeah, he's always doing it. And it's like, no, but this time maybe we'll, because then we'll have that money and then, you know, you can pay rent and we'll finally get to go on holiday as we've always planned.
Yeah, that's it. It's like, you know, that's a really, really good kind of analogy. Everyone can see themselves in Bebop and Rocksteady because we're all kind of trying to save up for that thing that we kind of in the back of our minds know is never going to happen because either the work isn't there,
tumble
or the
dryer
work takes you away from that thing. Yeah, exactly.
Got to buy some new fitted cupboards.
The combi washer dryer, a little bit of press board to stick at the back of the cupboard. It's never going to happen, is it?
So our spirit animals are a warthog, a rhinoceros, and a brain. I'm not sure.
I think you've got.
Think I've done okay.
I'm not. Well, go, let's.
Well, it was your suggestion. Yeah. If anything, maybe you're the ideas man. Maybe you're Krang.
I'm not.
Maybe I'm Bebop and Clarky's Rocksteady.
I'm not happy with this. I think we should go back to the drawing
board. Listen, you weren't happy with Raphael. You weren't happy with Bim Bebop.
You're reacting very much like a Raphael to all of this.
No one's happy with Raphael. No one wanted to be Raphael.
There's a darkness to Parry.
You just find out you're Raphael.
Parry, we're going to give you a break.
What?
I know you've wanted it all your life. You're finally going to get it. You can have a break.
Well, hang on. Are you sacking Raphael from the title? Yeah.
You're out.
Fucking hell. I mean, like, this is how you tell me. Live in a professional broadcast. Okay, well, before we go, let's have a quick spin at our spirit animals then.
Okay. I was thinking something along the line. I was thinking small, bit sort of. I was thinking like a terrier.
Yeah, I think
little terrier. You know, small, can be quite enthusiastic, prone to mood swings.
Also, they kind of look. They're the kind of dog that always looks like it's old, even when it's young.
Yeah, looks like an old guy with a beard. Yeah.
It's very difficult to get away from dogs when you're looking at spirit animals, because
it's true.
We spend we spend a lot of time with dogs, and you kind of go, I think types of dogs.
Should we tell people this is recorded live at Battersea Dogs Home? We should have mentioned that really.
And have we ever told anyone that we're dogs? We should have made more about the fact that we're a talking dog podcast.
We should wrap up this podcast because we've got to play billiards.
Yeah,
absolutely. We've got that bar billiards game we've got to play.
I've got a fantastic hand of cards. And this cigar isn't going to smoke itself.
Those paintings were actually done by Raphael. You won't believe it.
Who originally painted the dogs playing cards podcast?
Wouldn't it be like fun to like find out that is like the richest painter that ever lived?
The first painting of the dogs playing cards, or is there only one and it gets reprinted all the time? Or is it like, was there a trend of let's paint dogs playing cards? Or is it only
wasn't there a trend of dogs doing things in like, you know, like dogs doing human things normally, like sat around a bar or like the Edward Hopper picture? Or
yeah,
I feel like I've seen a few different pictures of dogs, you know, like chomping on cigars with beer.
Alone in a cafe at night.
Yeah, exactly.
Night dogs.
Night dogs at the diner, yeah.
Absolute dog's diner of that. All I'm saying is that there must have been a guy who first painted that picture and thought, this is great. It's dogs, but they're playing cards.
Yeah. And people said, it's not great. And he went, what the bloody hell have you done?
Can you paint?
Can you paint?
Welcome to
you can't.
Welcome to the art gallery. Anyway, you go.
Come on in.
Oh, by the way, cowabunga, dude.
House meeting.
I live in a house made of iron sheeting.
House meeting.
So, folks, there it was.
It was, yeah, indeed.
There it was, indeed.
Get in touch. And what's your spirit animal? What turtle are you? What turtle are we? Get in touch.
Get in touch.
Happy to tweet on Twitter.
Do you want to fund Bebop and Rocksteady Are Dead? It's a musical.
I really like that. Yeah, so pappiesflatshare@gmail.com or Beef Brothers Podcasts. Oh, the other thing I wanted to ask for people, if you are, if you have a festive beef, we're going to do Beef Brothers Cold Turkey as our next episode. So if you're listening to this on the day it comes out, then the chances are there's still time to send beefbrotherspodcast@gmail.com. Send us any of your festive beefs, any of your things that sort of crop up when you're home at Christmas time, whether it's about the way people wrap presents or it's about the food people prepare, or whether it's about, you know, just literally anything at all to do with Christmas, and we will solve your festive flatshare beefs.
Hop along to the Patreon, join the Patreon community, show your support. There's loads of bonus content there. There's lovely ways to get in touch.
Lovely ways to get in touch. Yeah. That's one of the main things about the Patreon, guys. There's a message function, which I think gets used maybe three times a year, and it is a lovely way to get in touch, and people don't use it enough. Patreon.com/pappiesflatshare, and get in touch, guys.
Yeah, and please buy your tickets for the 15th. It's always a pleasure to do the Christmas flat slam. Mm.
Yeah, baby.
All right. Happy house meeting, everyone.
Happy house meeting. This episode was produced by Emma Corsham.
Corsham team. Cheers, everyone. Cowabunga Rockets!
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.